I'm advised that tomorrow there is going to be a sitting to deal with the motion of condolences for the late Deputy Minister of Mineral Resources in the House at 2. And all members, I'm advised, especially members of the ruling party, are expected to be in the House until that motion has been dispensed with. Now, we have two options. One option is to start after at 3:15 until we are done with the selection process, or we proceed on Friday morning.
I think, Chair, let's make it tomorrow. Friday is a half day, and some of us even have a meeting of the Constitutional Review Committee. So I think it's almost 3 or 4 of us here in this committee to sit there. So we may have problems with regard to such. So I would say, Chair, it is important to just brief the speaker that we'll attend the House program, but we'll cut our sitting short due to this very important program.
Okay, Honorable Hon.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm in support of that. I was about to say the other options, of course, I think in terms of the program, caucuses are due to finish at 12:30. To maybe start over lunch, then join the plenary and go back. But I'm not averse to only starting at 3:15 as well, but unfortunately, some of us, due to the fact that there was no notice regarding meeting on Friday, have made other commitments in constituencies as well. Thank you.
Chair, it looks like we have a morning of agreement. we would support also the 12:30, which gives us about the 1.5 hours at least of good work, solid work, because it could take long, we don't know. 19 CVs we have to study, and then proceed at 2:30 as soon as possible we can get out of the memorial. And just my apologies for tomorrow. I've got an obligation at 4, which has been set already with the chief. Thanks.
Let's meet at 12:30.
Yes, I wanted to agree with Honorable Hon that let's start earlier, because most of us are not maybe debating on the condolences. We can join them while they are busy debating there. Thank you.
Must be next to the House. The new wing. Chair, please.
Okay.
Again, Chairperson, maybe we must be advised on those CV provided to us, which one maybe withdrew, so that we mustn't read even those one who are no more there.
I'm advised that those that have withdrawn are not part of the package.
The file that we gave you contains 26 CVs. So those are all the CVs that are expected to consider. The 3 withdrawals are not part of the panel that you have.
Chair, from the presentation here, if I'm correct, didn't it say that?
Not quite.
The reason we have to, or the six to be formalized whether in the meeting. So the study. Sorry. Thanks.
The last issue before we deal with PAIA, it's something that we thought that I'm suggesting that let the WIPS, the Chief WIPS Forum deal with it. It's a decision that we took earlier. There are parties that are not here, that are not part of the committee, that might want on that day to come. We think that just to avoid unnecessary debate as to who needs to be represented, that the Chief Whips Forum deal with that particular matter, so that on that day when we're supposed to start, we don't have those disagreements, issues of alternates, issues of parties that might not, like your ATM, it comes once in a while. In case they come, they will not be part of the 11th. So I think let's be guided by the Chief Whips Forum, so that even if we say the alternate, we are quite clear that they must manage that matter. It's a political matter. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, we have the committee has now had its public hearings and received submissions on the bill. We have prepared a summary of those submissions for the committee. The document before you, I would like to just quickly speak to the document itself, guide the committee through the document, and then mention something in general about the Promotion of Access to Information Act to the committee, and then I think we could go through the process of then going through the comments one by one and indicate to the committee what the response thereto is. The first thing that I would like to point out with regard to the document itself is that although the heading says response by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, strictly speaking, that is not the position, Mr. Chair, because it is a committee bill, I realized that too late when I submitted the document. The responses were prepared after consultation with your content advisor and your parliamentary advisor. I've also requested my colleague from the parliamentary law advisors to maybe relieve me at some stage when she starts hearing that, that I'm getting tired. Mr. Chair, and then what we've also done is, and this is why it's not a document, actually a response document by the department, is we've included an Annexure A to the document. And the Annexure A is a proposed amendment or a proposed bill in response to the comments that we have received. Now, with regard to the comments in general, Mr. Chair, there will be some of the responses with regard to which I would like to provide you just a brief background. My apologies. I think I'm going too fast again.
No, you're fine.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the Act itself, the structure of the Act, and we're talking about the Promotion of Access to Information Act now, is that it applies to public and private bodies. So it draws a very important distinction in two parts, provisions dealing with public bodies and provisions dealing with private bodies. Those provisions in the second part, dealing with private bodies, is to a very, very large extent a repetition or a mirror image of the provisions dealing with public bodies. The second important thing that I would like to mention about the Access to Information Act, Mr. Chair, is that our system of access to information is regulated in terms of the Act is request-based. So you receive a request for access to a record, you've got your grounds for refusal. If there aren't any grounds for refusal available, you make the document available. With regard to that, there is one important exception, and that is that private bodies and public bodies are allowed to, on a voluntary basis, make certain information available. Now, what the NDC case did, the My Vote Counts case did, it actually created an exception to that rule of voluntary disclosure, to the extent that political parties are now obliged to make certain information available. So that's a deviation from the voluntary basis of making records available. That's the first or the third important thing that I would like the committee to note before we get to the responses. And then the fourth and last thing is that we must remember that the Political Party Funding Act creates the substantive body of law with regard to funding. Provides guidance and it indicates to parties what type of donations you may receive, what type of donations you may not receive, how you should keep a record, and this is important, how you should keep a record of those donations or the income of the political party. We must remember that if an obligation to create a record exists in another piece of legislation, we don't necessarily need to repeat that obligation in Bahia. Bahia is just about access to records. The obligation to create whichever record might be found in another piece of legislation. And that is the crux of the matter that we would like to indicate to the committee, is that it is extremely important that the proposed amendment should dovetail with the Political Party Funding Act. And admittedly, the committee bill at this stage doesn't do that clearly. And we'll see when we go through the responses. And then I would like to at the conclusion of our responses, Mr. Chair, with your permission, I would like to take the committee then through our proposed amendments. Thank you, Chair. So at any stage, my colleague, with your permission, Chair, will be welcome to just jump in and take over from me as and when she wants. So Table 1 then reflects general recommendations that we received, not specifically with regard to provisions of the bill itself. And then Table 2 is a clause-by-clause summary of the submissions, where parties indicated what their concerns are with regard to the bill, and then, of course, the annexure of the proposed amendments. So in Table 1, Mr. Chair, the first one, Amabungane, indicated... Oh, yes, I'm going to interrupt myself, Mr. Chair. What we did, we found that some of these recommendations actually require nothing else that one could call a policy decision. But we haven't decided to say this must be a policy decision. We've decided to provide information that might assist the committee in reaching those decisions. So Amabungane then first of all said the definition of substantially related sources must be inserted in the bill. The response to that is that the clear intention is to align the proposed new provision with the provisions of the Political Party Funding Act, which creates the substantive obligations with regard to the funding of political parties. And then secondly, they recommended that investment vehicles should also be included as sources of funding to be disclosed above the threshold. We indicated that the NDC case focused on the funding of political parties and not how funds are used. Thirdly, the amendment bill should clarify that requests for access to records may be made at any time in addition to the quarterly disclosure of information of donations. Now, this is a crucial part, and our response there is to say that if the recommendation of the information regulator is accepted by the committee, then this matter will automatically be provided for. What they've said is political parties should not only make information available on a quarterly basis, but requesters should in general be allowed to approach a political party. And we said that if the committee accepts the recommendation of the information regulator, which in short is that the whole act should apply to political parties, then that matter will be catered for. On the second page, the committee should consider creating a deal disclosure obligation similar to the Political Party Funding Act that requires that entities that make donations should disclose such donations. Our response is simply to say, Mr. Chair, that the obligation to automatically disclose the identity of a person who fund political parties will render a deal disclosure obligation redundant. Then they said the amendment bill refers to the accounting officer, while the remainder of PAIA refers to information officers. It is recommended that the proposed amendment should be harmonized with the general scheme of PAIA. We've noted that and we agree, Mr. Chair, to a certain extent that terminology should be used consistently, but we argue that political parties are not public bodies, so they do not have information officers. They have the head of a private body. And then the prescribed... Okay, there were... I'm going to skip the prescribed threshold because there were a number of commentators who commented on that. The other issue that was raised, and it was actually a question at the public hearings to Amabungane, was the proposed period of preservation should be 7 and not 5 years. We've indicated that the period of 5 years spans one administration and many pieces of related legislation, for example, the Financial Intelligence Center Act, requires a retention period of 5 years. And then they also said that the record should be made available on request from a requester when a request is made. We've covered that one already, Chair, so I don't need to repeat myself there. At the bottom of page 2, the South African Human Rights Commission is of the opinion that the proposed Chapter 2A is of a limited nature and expressed the view that other political parties should be accessible to the public. Information of politics. My apologies. And it recommends that political parties should be included in the definition of public body. We do not agree with that, Mr. Chair. A political party cannot be regarded as a public body because a public body is described in terms of the Constitution, and the Promotion of Access to Information Act took that definition over. So if I may be blunt by saying your public bodies are the hardcore public bodies or organs of the executive authority. If political parties are included in the definition of public body, the proposed new Chapter 2 may be incorporated in Section 15, and an additional amendment should be included in Section 15 to provide for an open governmental portal. We said... I think we've already made our case that we argue that a political party must be a private body, so the second part of the Act will apply to private bodies. They also proposed that Section 92 of the Act should be amended to ensure that an information officer of a public body who fails to comply with the provisions of Section 32 is guilty of an offence. We've responded there, Mr. Chair, to indicate that the Protection of Personal Information Act does two important things. It creates the information regulator that will be responsible for that act and this act. And there are numerous proposed amendments to PAIA to provide the information regulator with extensive enforcement powers. And that was the angle that was taken by Parliament to ensure that there's improved administration or implementation of PAIA as well. They come with a very technical argument, and I'm going to ask my colleague, if she doesn't mind, to maybe respond to the next one.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, everyone. Chair, the next one was a suggestion by the Human Rights Commission that the word end between paragraphs A and B in Section 46 should be replaced with an O. And the response is that in that section, it deals with circumstances where information that may be refused in terms of the Act should be made available. And for the person that is requesting the information, they should be able to prove both those requirements that are listed in Section 46. So the end is a conjunctive end. It's not an end where you say you must either comply with this or that. So we cannot change that to an O. It must remain an end. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I also came with a technical recommendation that the 30-day period stipulated in terms of Sections 22, 25, and 26 may not be deviated from in any circumstances. Shorter periods should be introduced where access to information is vital to safeguarding the liberty of people. Now, our response is there, but I would like to explain our response, Mr. Chair. If you come with a recommendation with regard to the amendment of the first part of PAIA, then you must also consider whether your recommendation applies to the second part of PAIA, because these provisions are mirrored with regard to private bodies. So in other words, to investigate the feasibility of amending those sections, you must also take into consideration the amendment of the provisions dealing with private bodies. And that is unfortunately something that cannot be done here or by the committee at this stage. The committee is primarily now considering the impact of the MVC case and how to address that. I'm going to skip the next one because that will be recurring. I'm on page 4 now, Mr. Chair. So I'm skipping F because it will be addressed later. Then in G, they recommend that there should be a provision mandating political parties to disclose any information on a political party and not just information on funding. Now, we've already talked about the fact that PAIA is request-based, and if we define a political party as a private body, then the members of the public will be able to approach the political party with ordinary requests for access to information in general. I also indicated that the Act should be amended to provide for the mandatory disclosure of information pertaining to the funding of internal candidates for discrete internal political party campaigns. Our response is that the Act does not make a distinction between different types of private bodies as far as access to records are concerned. The question is therefore raised whether it will be appropriate or even feasible to introduce a requirement of this nature. And then Section 32 should be amended to make reference to public bodies' compliance with proactive disclosure provisions set out in Section 51 of PAIA. We indicated that the inclusion of a political party in the definition of private body will have the result that all provisions of the Act that are currently applicable to private bodies will also apply to political parties. Mr. Chair, then on page 4, my vote counts. The comment under A, we've actually already covered that, so I'm not going to read it through. It is there for the members to read. Paragraph B, they say it should be mandatory that all donations received by the political party should be recorded irrespective of the value. Now, you will remember that we said the Political Party Funding Act creates the substantive law. And if I remember correctly, and I'll check it just now, I think it's Section 12.2 of that Act requires of a financial officer to record all income Then they refer to records should be made available with full information pertaining to them. They should be made available by name, account, amount, and date. In other words, there should be a format on how the records should be made available. Our response there too is that we are going to propose that regulations must be issued in terms of the Act, and we say that this finer detail can be provided for in the regulations. And then in paragraph D, they suggest that information not only be made available on social media, but also be made available in hard copies at government offices. We do not agree with that. We argue that it can never be expected of government offices on a national, provincial, and local level to keep records of private bodies of this nature. And then they also refer to the fact that there's no provision for monitoring and compliance. Once again, we refer to the consequential amendments affected, or that will be affected to the Paia in terms of the Protection of Personal Information Act, which will provide the information regulator with extensive enforcement powers. The Media Monitoring Africa said that parties should be required to compile Paia manuals setting out the disclosures that the parties are required to make, and we've already dealt with that. If a political party is defined as a private body, the whole Act will apply to you. And then in paragraph B, they say that there should also there is also no requirement to make disclosures regarding political advertising. Parties should therefore be required to keep the record of all political advertisements in order to enable the public to identify paid-for content and I guess foreign manipulated advertising. My apologies, Mr. Chair. And then in paragraph C, they recommend that whistleblowers should be protected, and then they provide proposed wording there. So we responded to paragraphs B and C simultaneously by indicating that the department is of the view that the amendments to be affected to Paia should not go beyond the purview of the MDC case. Chair, it sounds as if I'm becoming very emotional, but it's, I love my work.
That's why we're intervening through what?
Chair. No, I think my colleague should assist me here too. This is a bigger problem.
The next one, Chair, is also on page 5. It's a submission from the information regulator. They recommended that the definition of private body be amended to include political parties and independent candidates. And the department supports that recommendation. We will we'll speak about it now when we deal with Table 2 on how we have incorporated that proposal. And they also recommend that the definition of head should also be amended to include the head of a political party. The same answer that I've just given applies also in this proposal. And then there was a submission from an individual, Mr. Bezay Denhout. He said that the current administration of the ANC is subject to Section 195 of the Constitution. And the response to that is that Section 195 of the Constitution deals with the basic values and principles governing public administration and not access to information of private and public bodies as provided for in Section 32 of the Constitution. The last one in Table 1, it was from UNISA, and they are submitting that it might be more effective to identify the relevant sections in the Political Party Funding Act and incorporate them instead of trying to reinvent the wheel. The department is in agreement with that, and that there should be a greater synergy between the two acts, and that will also be shown now in the presentation of Table 2. The second suggestion from UNISA was that the application of the Act to independent candidates at national and provincial level is hypothetical, and the response to that is that the Constitutional Court ordered that PAYA be amended to include disclosure of information from both political parties and independent candidates. I'll now hand over to Hank again. Hopefully he's feeling better.
Thank you, Chair. Table 2 then, we get to comments that relate to the bill itself. And with regard to the definition of accounting officer, Mr. Jay Turnbridge argued that the provision does not require any qualifying skills, educational qualifications, or membership of any certifying organization. And he makes the statement that unless the accounting officer can be held to a higher standard, undue influence on the position is likely to prevail. We recommend or we replied that the political party, the department, we recommend that political parties should be included in the definition of a private body, which will then have the effect that the term accounting officer will be replaced with the term head of a private body. The Political Party Funding Act, now we're back at the substantive provisions, does not prescribe any qualifications as precondition for appointment as an accounting officer, because that system is there. The accounting officer must account for all the income, and the books will be audited. So the framework established in the Political Party Funding Act cannot be criticized. Media monitoring with regard to the definition of political party, the definition goes wider than the definition of political party in the Political Party Funding Act. It is recommended that the Political Party Funding Act should be amended to align with a wider definition. Okay, and then the use of the word and at the end of paragraph, subparagraph B is misleading and should be replaced with an or. Now, Mr. Chair, what is interesting, our definition or the definition that is included in this bill, it does not go wider than the definition of the political party in the Political Party Funding Act, because in the Political Party Funding Act, reference is made to elections and as defined in the Electoral Act. And if you look at the definition in the Electoral Act of elections, yeah, I go again, Chair, means an election in the National Assembly, Provincial Legislature, Municipal Council. So it cannot be argued that our definition goes wider, but we accept, or we're not opposed to replacing the conjunctive and with a disjunctive or for clarity purposes. And then they say that definitions of donation and donations in kind should be included in the bill in order to clarify the scope of the requested disclosure, the required disclosures. We agree with that, Mr. Chair, that the two definitions should be included by reference. It's not necessary to repeat them verbatim in the bill. And then Mr. Turnbridge said that the definition is open to interpretation to imply that an entity with political motives can accept donations if their principal objective does not oppose or support any registered political party candidates. And then we simply said that the definition is a duplication of the definition of a political party as defined in the Political Party Funding Act. Then with regard to the provision that deals with the accounting officer of a political party that must create and keep records, Media Monitoring said that the wording create and keep should be aligned with that of the My Vote Counts decision to require accounting officers to record, preserve and make reasonably available. Our argument is that even even the bill as it is now and the proposed amendments will give effect to that. It's not just necessarily exactly the same terms, but it amounts to exactly the same thing. And then they said that the proposed new section fails to include the requirement to make information reasonably accessible. In this regard, the recommendation is that the manner in which the information is made available should be left to regulations. And there is also other information that is relevant, such as information regarding structures, functions, powers, decision-making processes, and decisions taken by parties in respect of the electoral processes. Our response is simply to say that the MPC case was restricted to funding of political parties. We do not agree with the proposed provision, or that the proposed provision should go beyond funding information. If you want records of that type of information, then it should merely be a request for access to information in terms of Bahia in general. And then with regard to the identity, now we get to this, a few comments which related to the prescribed threshold. And Mr. Chair, I think it is straightforward. I don't want to go through each and every sentence there, but maybe to indicate to the Chair that our argument is that the prescribed threshold has been or will be determined in terms of regulations of the Political Party Funding Act. We agree that it is dangerous to insert an amount in the Act itself, and that it is much more appropriate to refer to the prescribed threshold as contemplated in Section 9(1) of the Political Party Funding Act. So, to a large extent, what I've just attempted to summarize to you, Mr. Chair, takes in care of page 9 and a portion of 10, just 9. But I think we're making progress, Chair. At the top of page 10, the date on which a donation is made should also be recorded. Mr. Chair, I think it's so straightforward. Our response there with respect is that we are of the view that it's not necessary to legislate for standard bookkeeping rules. The obligation to create those audited statements are in the Political Party Funding Act, and I mean it simply makes sense that you must record the date when you receive money in your books. Amal Bungane also criticized the prescribed threshold, and they say that 100,000 is too high. And they eventually get to the point where they say that we should simply make a reference to the prescribed threshold as contemplated in Section 9(1) of the Political Party Funding Act, and we agree with that proposal. We support that proposal. With regard to the duty to create records, parties are only required to hold records of donations above the threshold. A general obligation should be placed on parties to create and hold any and all records, irrespective of the value of the donations. I think the one possible mistake that some of the commentators made was not to think through the implications and the nature, the substantive nature of the Political Party Funding Act. One gets the impression when you see a comment like this that they only looked in isolation to the provisions itself. But we must remember that the substantive law with regard to political party funding is in that Act. And Section 12(2) of that Act, for example, requires that the accounting officer of a political party must account for all income received by the political party.
Okay.
Media Monitoring Africa, this is something that, the committee might want to consider. They say that the bill should require the parties to make disclosures where the same person or entity makes multiple donations that in the aggregate exceed the threshold. We are of the view, Chair, that the words more than and per financial year in the relevant phrase is wide enough to include this concern or to cover this concern. COSATU recommended or requested that the Political Party Funding Act be removed, be amended to remove the threshold amount. And this is possibly one of those things that's closer to policy than us really being able to provide you with an answer, but our input, if I may say, at this stage is that the threshold amount serves as an important purpose, as among others, to avoid overburdening political parties administratively. The emphasis is placed on more substantive amounts. Banking Association South Africa, and this is where we actually started thinking about the bill and how it is drafted, and they are 100% correct when they say the requirement to report on commercial loans is not specified in the Political Party Funding Act. A requirement such as the aforementioned should be specified in the Political Party Funding Act and should be subject to the same customer privacy requirements. And we have noted that, and we concede that reference to commercial terms should be removed from the proposed new section. Then on page 11, with regard to the proposed new section 52 capital B sub 1 sub B, Mr. Chair, I'm also going to just give you a broad summary of the submissions that were made here. I'm not going to go through it line by line. The criticism is that the wording that we have with regard to how it should be made available is not sufficient. Our proposal at this stage is that we accept that it's a difficult issue to decide precisely how the information should be made available, and we recommend that the information should be made available as prescribed. So how the information will be made available will then be regulated in terms of regulations. And that effectively takes care of page 11 then. And the top of page 12. With regard to the proposed new section 52 capital B sub 3, Mr. Turnbridge argues that the time that it takes for corruption to be uncovered is sufficient motivation for political parties to retain all records for as long as the party exists and thereafter must be referred to national archives. Our response is that the period of 5 years spans over one administration, and the department is of the view that the period is sufficiently long enough to avoid overburdening political parties administratively. My vote counts. There needs to be clarity whether donation records should be preserved for at least 5 years after a political party is no longer active. The response there is that the proposed requirement is that records should be kept for a period of 5 years, irrespective of whether the party exists or not. They also said that there should be greater clarity as to whether it is intended for information to be replaced on a quarterly basis, to the extent that only the most recent date is publicly available, or is the intention for information to eventually be available that spans 5 years. The response there is that we argue that the obligation is to create the records of all donations above the prescribed threshold and make them available. It is difficult to see how parties will be able to withdraw older records after they have been made available, and we could withdraw in inverted commas, Mr. Chair, because if political party CDE makes the information available, let's say, for example, on their website, then I'm able to download that information. If they want to delete or withdraw that information after a year, that information will still be available. So it's, I'm not too concerned about that concern that was expressed by my vote counts. And then at the top of page 13, Amabungani recommends that the period of retention, we're back at that the period of retention. We've already said that the period of retention spans over an administration and is in line with other legislation dealing with similar obligations, like, for example, the Financial Intelligence Center Act. Helen Suzman Foundation made a recommendation there. But in short, the recommendation made there, if the committee accepts what we propose at this stage, that the draft should look like, that concern will also be addressed. Mr. Chair, I come to the annexure now. I don't know whether you would like me to pause or whether I should indicate to you what we propose in the annexure, what we think, how we think in response to the recommendations the bill should look like then.
Deal with what you propose, because I think people who will take us through the new is the Parliament.
Thank you, Chair. So, Chair, in the next year, the proposal is that we move away from inserting a Chapter 2A in the part dealing with private bodies, that Section 1 of the Act be amended. Two definitions of importance there is a political party and private body. Now, the first definition, of course, is the head of a private body, which will be amended to make reference to political parties. And then, so that is quite straightforward. I don't need to bore you with the detail there. I think it's self-explanatory. The definition of political party then is largely a repetition of the definition that we currently have in the bill. And then on page 15, the important thing there is that a private body will be included in the definition of a political party. If we have those three definitions, then it's merely necessary to insert a new Section 52 capital A in the Act, which is very short, but technically, in our view, dovetails very good with the Political Party Funding Act. And I'm going to read it to you, Mr. Chair. So 52 capital A will require the head of a political party to create and keep records of any donation exceeding the prescribed threshold that has been made to that political party in any given financial year and the identity of the persons or entities who made such donations. B, make the records available on a quarterly basis as prescribed, and C, keep the records for a period of at least 5 years after the records concerned have been created. The proposed new subsection 2 will then clarify three terms, and it reads, for purposes of this section, donation means a donation as defined in section 1, financial year means a financial year as defined in section 1, and then prescribed threshold means the prescribed threshold contemplated in Section 91A of the Political Party Funding Act. And then the proposed new Clause 3 is merely technical to effect the necessary amendment to the index to the Act. And then Clause 4 just deals with the short title and commencement. Since there will be regulations, it's necessary to indicate that the act will then be implemented on a date determined by the President. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Before I hand over to honourable members, I just forgot to thank Ms. Silstone for the work, for the good work done with respect to the criteria and all associated work that was done. Thank you very much. I think in section 52A, the capital A, the head of the political party must create and keep records of any donation exceeding. Now, let's say the prescribed threshold is 100,000, which means it must be above 100,000 for it to be kept. Is it supposed to start from 100,000? I'm just making an example.
You will recall that I indicated that other private bodies and public bodies may make records on, available on a voluntary basis. That's the general rule of the Act. The MPC case created this exception that there's now an obligation on political parties to make records automatically available. Now, our argument is the threshold that has been determined in terms of the Political Party Funding Act has been determined after having taken a number of considerations and issues and into consideration. What 52 capital A will require is that when it comes to donations above 100,000, those records must be made available automatically. But the Political Party Funding Act still creates that obligation to create records of all income. So what we say is, if I, for example, as an individual, is interested in seeing how many 50,000 rand donations party CDE received, then I am still able to do that in terms of the Act itself. I can submit a request for access to records, and then that request must be considered in terms of the Act in order to decide whether I will be granted access to those records or not. So there's an obligation in another piece of legislation to create records of all income. There's also an obligation in terms of that Act to make that certain information available to the Electoral Commission. Proposed Section 52 capital A comes with and gives effect to that exception created by the MBC case to say that certain records must be made automatically available by the political party.
Honourable members, that is the... Those are the responses done by the department working with Parliament and the research unit. Honorable Horn, Honorable Mola, Honorable Mulauzi, Honorable Mohammed.
Thank you, Chair. I just have one technical question in terms of the definition of a political party, which I understand has now been incorporated from the Political Party Funding Act. And that's in respect of sub-clauses A and B, I mean, on the suggestion of one of the participants in the public participation, the word and after B has been replaced with or. I just want to hear from the advisors, what are we to make of the absence of an and or between A and B. Because it might create a situation where there's a loophole to interpret that the definition that ultimately there is only a duty on parties represented in national and provincial legislatures and municipal councils to keep record. And if one then, for example, goes back to let's say, the setting up of a party like the EFF, who for about a year of its existence obviously were functioning very well but were not yet represented in councils or legislatures, it would mean that there's a loophole that a new party who gets much in terms of private funding, possibly from cigarette guys or whatever, they have no obligation to keep record. But that's just a technical question from that.
I will not be responsible for the response from that third party. Honorable Ngoda.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, there is something that I think my English is failing on. I'm trying to make sense of what Mr. Bezendewood is saying of Section 195 of the Constitution. I don't understand the actual comment, but there is Section 195 of the Constitution, which is generally values and principles of public service. Now, I don't know how then do we incorporate political organizations into the actual operations of Section 195. Maybe you understand, but I don't know. But I certainly don't understand the actual comment. It's very important to analyze it correctly so that we know what the public requires of us. There's an issue, Chair, which I think the department, in my view, has answered correctly. The issue from the issue regarding 52 would be capital letter B, my vote counts. On the issue of the political party records being held 5 years after the political party ceases to be active, I think the department did well, because we will have a serious problem of when do we say a political party is not active, and at what stage should we declare that this political Mazoti Patriot Alliance is not active? What measurements do we use? And so I'm saying the actual comment is that the department was able to manage it properly, otherwise would have had problems. Chair, I think in a nutshell, those are my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mulaute.
No, thank you, Chair. I'm just surprised that honorable member, they want this committee to degenerate, you see. And even Ngola supporting you, you are a cabal now. So, because there was nothing presented about Mazoti. I don't know what is coming.
Honorable Mulaute, I suspect these are the byproducts of the pending divorce in Johannesburg.
True, Jefferson. And the disparity of the ruling party, because they want us. I want to ask about Section 52A, as the chairperson asked about the recording by the political head, the creation and the keeping of the record. You said it's not a force, it depends. But the Act said they must, the political head must create and keep the records. So I just want to know, out of that section, do we have a regulation to remedy if the political party fails to create the records or to keep the records? So, because the Section 52A is saying that the political party's head must
create and keep the records. So if such is not done, do we have a regulation in the Act to remedy such a compromise?
Honorable Mulauti was the last one. Oh, sorry, Honorable Hisham.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just a short few points. No, we support the proposal by the 5-year period for one within one administration to keep the records. That would be in line with the general corporate practice as we get into the mode of the 14th Industrial Revolution to ensure that we have some kind of records. I'm referring to Annexure A in particular, Chair. Our views is that most of these is quite different from the first bill as it originally is in Annexure A. It has been encapsulated now. We're quite confident with these proposed, especially the prescribed threshold rather than the amount. We support that too. It should have been or it will be through regulation, because it may change from time to time depending how much money the EFF can assemble for the DA. The other aspect of course is the we're not clear on the availability of quarterly as opposed to in terms of political party funding act that by request. Is that just a available tool of access?
Mm-hmm.
And the one is prescribed, the other one is depending on the request. We'll just clarify that one. Then, Chair, as I said, the 9-1A, the Cooperative Funding Act reference is important, so that the principal act or the main act, as was mentioned, is always a guide or reference directly from which. And then I think this draft definitely keeps to just at least the minimal that the Constitutional Court wanted us to do, and we should stick to that rather than anything else, because this kind of legislation is an evolving one. It will change over years, especially 10 years. But thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The or between Chair, you will find in older legislation, if you had subparagraphs, what the draft is then that after paragraph A they inserted the or, after paragraph B they inserted the or, after paragraph C they inserted the or, after paragraph D they inserted the or. And then legislative drafting evolved to the extent that we said that, listen, if you have more than two paragraphs, insert what you want between the second last and the last paragraph. But the question raised an additional question, and I actually checked that this morning again, and I will be able, depending on when the committee, how the committee want to proceed with this bill or the proposed amendments, but I strongly feel at this stage that it's not necessary to have paragraph D there, and that we only have a paragraph A and B, which will then refer to the natural person who's an independent candidate, and then Mr. Horn's smoking habits might be covered, Mr. Chair.
Yes, yes.
With regard to the beside note comments. And you will see they are in inverted comments, in inverted commas, because I didn't want to summarize that. I wanted to give the committee an indication precisely as to what the person said. And I cannot agree with what that person said, because the person actually said that the ruling party is nothing else than a government body and should therefore be subject to the provisions of Section 192 of the Constitution. Constitutionally speaking, Chair, it's... I don't want... It's a statement that I cannot agree with, Chair. Let me rather leave it at that. Chair, my colleague wants to add?
Just to add to what my colleague is saying, Mr. Bazidin, what he's actually saying that there is no distinction between the ANC as a party and the ANC government, because the ANC elects the people who form part of the government of the day. And naturally saying there's no need for this legislation. They should just be required to disclose information, because the ANC and the state are the same kind of entity. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, quarterly basis, every 3 months, when you have additional information, it must be made available. And then with regard to the question or the reference to the obligation on a political party to create and keep records, the question with regard to what if the party fails, that is where we trust that the information regulator will step in. But it's up to the committee to decide whether the committee would like to see anything else at this stage being brought in. But we must also remember that there are also consequences in terms of the Political Party Funding Act if there are failures. Now, what we're trying to say is that a failure here will follow upon a failure in the Political Party Funding Act, and the consequences are also in terms of those substantive provisions provided for in that Act. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Members, I think there is a document that has been circulated from the Helen Suzman Foundation. I think honourable members can go through that document. I think when we meet on the 30th, it will also you take it into consideration when we do the deliberations. What I propose, honourable members, because this proposed bill, which is a response to that bill, is far much more improved bill than the one that we published. Can't we formally work now with this one? I'm not saying that we are adopting the bill, but use this as a working bill, because I think there has been serious improvements from the previous bill that was published, to ensure that there is a way forward. We have taken into consideration the improvements that have been made. That we work with this bill now. Are we agreeable, honourable members? Thank you very much. I think on the 30th. We will be doing deliberations on PAIA, 30th of this month. We want to ensure that we, by the time we adjourn, we must have really pushed the bill. So 30th Parliament, Justice. We are starting with the deliberations. Any other issue, honourable members? Thank you very much for the good work that you have done. I think there is big improvement. We can confidently say that as the National Assembly, we would be able to conclude the bill this year. and the NCOP would work on the bill next year. But we would still need the extension for Parliament to conclude the bill. Honourable members, we would also, I think, what's the date? The customary marriages and the judicial matters. We would, on the 5th, would propose that we deal with the customary marriages and the judicial matters. We will be receiving a briefing from the department so that we are in a position to advertise for public comments. And then we will use the recess period to get public comments, and so that those are summarized properly. So when we come back next year, we can just start working on the bill. Is that okay? Then the other issue, honourable members, we are all aware that the Cape High Court has dealt with the issue of Advocate Jiba. So we are suggesting that on Tuesday, we also get a briefing from the legal services in Parliament, because we have, at least we have used this week to give them time to read the judgment properly, so that we get an update. Then we will agree on when to finalize the matter. So on Tuesday we will deal with the Jiba matter. And what's the other issue on Tuesday? The issue of the BRRR. We are having a bit of a challenge. Our research unit is working under tremendous pressure. We know that the content advisor for correctional services left. He has joined another unit. So they are trying to ensure that they work with both Office of the Chief Justice, and Correctional Services. We are working to ensure that at least by Friday we have the draft, which honourable members can read through the weekend, because we will be required that on Tuesday we adopt the BRRR report this coming Tuesday. So please, let's use the weekend to go through the BRRR report so that we meet the deadline. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Fizz, very good.
Oh my God.
Thank you.